Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 19th of September, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. The weather was fantastic with a little bit of feel of fall definitely in the air here in the Old Pueblo. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show, and we're on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we are happy to have our simulcast partners KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com, thanks to our relationship with the publisher Dylan Smith. Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We lead the program off the way we do every Monday with the Monday Political Face-Off. Today, our team will feature commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. At the bottom of the hour, the Nature Conservancy is making a huge open space donation to the citizens of Pima County, and we'll close out the show with a newsmaker interview with Republican Rick Grinnell, candidate for mayor of the city of Tucson. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Want to remind you that, and we want to welcome a new sponsor to the Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge at Moe's, and also on the web at moesgallery.com. Stop by and say hello to Mo Gall, and we're happy to have Mo with us. It's time for our Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Jeff Rogers is with us, chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Jeff and John, good to see both of you.
Good to see you both.
Good morning, Bill.
Let's begin with the big news of the day. President Obama, a few hours ago, unveiled his plan to cut the debt. This plan would knock off $3 trillion over a 10-year period. He's proposing new taxes on the wealthy, a special new tax for millionaires, and the elimination or scaling back of a variety of loopholes and deductions. About half of the tax savings, John Munger, would come from the expiration next year of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. Your comments?
Well, I think it's more than half of that. The context of this bill is that this is a president who just a couple of weeks ago said that he's going to spend $447 billion more, half a trillion more dollars on his third or fourth stimulus program, more spending. Now he started this speech today, having said 2 weeks ago that he's going to spend half a trillion more dollars. He said government has to live within its means. That was a predicate for today's speech. And so what that means to him is that we got to have government living within its means. Means we have to spend or give him $1.5 trillion more in taxes. So that's not living within your means, Bill. That's taking it from somebody else. Now, what he's doing, and incidentally, he's talking about this Buffett rule, and I don't care at all about the Buffett rule. The Buffett savings is not in his $1.5 trillion. That's not where this is. He talks about the Buffett rule, but it's a bait and switch. Where he's going to get this $1.5 trillion is from taxing everybody who makes $200,000 or more. He's back to stopping the tax cuts of the Bush administration and having everybody making $200,000 or more.
So it's pay more taxes. Not just for the wealthy.
No, he's not getting. He doesn't even calculate how much money he's going to get from this group of $1 million earners or more.
Okay.
He's talking about ending the Bush tax cuts and taxing the little guy. And the question you got to ask is, how's that going to create jobs?
Jeff Rogers, your opinion.
Well, I think John should be paying more taxes, and I think I should be paying more taxes, too. And the fact of the matter is, we're talking about the top 3% of earners in America, and it's not people making $200,000. Those are individuals making $200,000, families making $250,000 or more, and families making $250,000 or more constitute less than the top 5% of the income earners in America. They ought to be paying their fair share. They're paying the lowest marginal tax rates in 70 years in America right now. And the Buffett rule, we don't have the figures yet. John is somewhat correct on that as to how much that will generate, but it will generate significant amounts because it will amount to, in Warren Buffett's case, and he admits it would double the amount of taxes that he's paying.
But you dispute this $200,000 break point that John is bringing
up. It is $200,000 for individuals. It's $250,000 for families.
Same old, same old. It's the same old tax increase for the people who create jobs, and those people that he's saying don't pay their fair share are already paying 50% of the corporate taxes in the country, whereas the bottom half of income earners in this country pay no tax. Now, how can you say that the people that he's going to raise taxes on aren't already paying their fair share? But the main question, Bill, is how is this going to create jobs? How is it going to create jobs?
There are a lot of ways it's going to create jobs. For instance, we take a look at some of the tax incentives for creation of jobs with small businesses that the president offered. There are tax breaks for hiring people who have been chronically unemployed. There are tax breaks that allow, for instance, employers to take people who are currently on unemployment insurance and train them in a new job. There are subsidies to states to continue to hire teachers and not lay off teachers, as we've seen tens of thousands of them laid off in Arizona. Same thing for first responders. There's construction money that will help build and improve and remodel community campuses of community colleges. There's money in there for highways, for bridges. There's a lot of money on the spending side of the $500 billion that John spoke of earlier, which the president announced week before last. So this is his speech today is the companion piece, the mirror image. How are we going to pay for the things that we need to do in this country?
And what he's doing is he's saying we're going to tax everybody from $200,000 up more, and then I, President Obama, trust me, I'm going to give you back tax breaks. So he's taking it away from the producing group who are going to create the jobs, and he's trying to then give it back. Now he wants me to hire somebody. I'm supposed to get a $4,000 tax credit for hiring this person. Well, it cost me $65,000 to hire that person. Why in the world am I going to do that for a $4,000 tax break? Why doesn't he just let the job creators keep their money and give them some certainty rather than keep doing this tax increase? You want to know why people don't create jobs anymore, Bill, is because they are scared to death. They don't know what in the world is going to be their tax situation or their regulatory situation.
So you're saying the tax situation is the key. Jeff?
No, I'm saying the regulatory situation is even worse.
Okay. You know, John is really good and always has been very good at parroting this Republican mantra. This Republican mantra has never worked. It hasn't worked for the last dozen years. It's always cut taxes, cut regulations, and what do we do? And get government down to where we can drown it in a bathtub. I think that's what the current Republican strategy is. The fact of the matter is that government can do a lot of things to help people. And the fact is that these policies were tried during the Bush years. And what did they do? They led to the worst financial collapse since the Great Depression. And this was not the typical job loss kind of recession that we usually see. This was a financial collapse, which is much, much more difficult to recover from in an economy like this. And it was the deregulation and failure to regulate the financial industries that led to this collapse and led to America having to basically bail out people who didn't really personally deserve to be bailed out, but whom we had to bail out those industries, because if we didn't, our entire economy and the world economy would have collapsed even further.
I agree with you. The collapse in 2008, however, was not due to tax cuts, Jeff. It was due, as you said, to the failure to regulate the housing industry And that housing industry was under control of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which was run by the Democrats, and which Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, as the two chairmen of the Senate and House Banking Committees, two big-time Democrats, refused to regulate and said there was absolutely no problem in the housing industry. They were dead wrong. Now, let's talk about what's worked and what hasn't worked. Since President Obama has been in the office now almost 3 years, unemployment is worse. The number of the wages have gone down. We have an all-time high in the number of poverty people in this country. Jeff, if there's anything that hasn't worked, it's giving money to the government and allowing the government to spend that money in place of the private sector. That's what hasn't worked. Jeff, you cannot tell me that what President Obama has done with his increased stimulus programs works. It has failed. It's been a total failure.
It worked. It just didn't work enough because the Republicans blocked the stimulus program from being strong enough to actually work well
He's
enough
had three
to drag
stimulus
us out
programs.
Of this.
One
substantial
$4 trillion.
And let me back up for a second. There is a little bit of blame to spread around here. This deregulation, which started with the Reagan administration and continued unabated through the Clinton administration and then hit its roaring height during Bush the second, that was really what led to this. And it wasn't just Fannie Mae. This was an entire financial services deregulation and a failure to regulate the kinds of financial instruments that were on their face dishonest, but people weren't aware of it. And you had banks and corporations and all kinds of businesses selling financial instruments that promised to be based upon, you know, what we were traditionally think of as a good economic asset, people's home ownership. But in reality, those were sold to the home loans were made to people who really shouldn't have had those kinds of home loans, or they shouldn't have been made under the terms that they were. And when that all collapsed on us, we faced the worst financial disaster since the Great Depression.
Hold your thought there, John. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Stay with us, John Munger and Jeff Rogers. We will be right back. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Jeff Rogers on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture hanging, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell, Dodge, and they are at moesgallery.com. John Munger, you would, before the break, you had a quick comment here.
Quick comment, yeah. Jeff is talking about the regulatory problems prior to 2008 being the cause of us going into this recession. I agree with him. The question is, who's at fault for that? But that's beside the point we're talking about today. We're talking about whether this big government Keynesian stimulus program of Obama's works or has ever worked. And there's no evidence it's ever worked, and that's all Obama's doing is more of the same. It's doubling down on failure, and that's the question here today.
Okay. Let's go to Lori on the Buckmaster Show live line. She called in at 790-2040. Go ahead, Lori.
Yes, I've got a question for Jeff Rogers. My question is, with the stimulus package that Mr. Obama has put out right now, he's got $56.5 million going to TUSD to improve their brick-and-mortar buildings. My question, and how does he spend this, when TUSD is declining enrolling and they're closing schools, why should we get behind the stimulus plan where I see right off the top $56.5 million is a waste?
Well, let me tell you how I would view it if I were running TUSD, which I'm not. I would view that as $56.5 million that I can move from other programs into actual teaching and to students, because that money will certainly improve the schools that we have around here, and many of them are in need of dire repair. What you have to realize is that as we deal with the declining enrollment of the school district, we're also seeing changing patterns of where we need schools. So we have places where we need a school, and then we have places where we have an old school, maybe not so old, where there are no students to fill it. And so unless we bus them in from great distances around town, then we're going to have to close down some of these schools, and the district's in the process of doing that and selling off some of those properties. But that doesn't mean that the infrastructure of some of the other schools cannot be improved with this money. I would probably feel like I had to move it around, because I think that the best money right now is spent on actual teachers and classroom involvement.
Here's the way I see it as a former member of the president of the Board of Regents. The TUSD is not short of money. TUSD has plenty of money. They just aren't spending it correctly. We have doubled the amount of spending that we do on our students, and it's gotten no better results. This is just a way to buy more teacher union votes. This is simply a political plan. Go out and buy votes. Support the unions. That's all Obama knows how to do, is buy political support. It's a propaganda. It's a campaign speech. It's a campaign maneuver to try and go out and buy votes. If you want to, there's a reason for the declining enrollment in TUSD, and that's that it doesn't produce. And students are moving through open enrollment to other school systems. And TUSD needs to be forced to compete.
Okay, thank you, Laurie, for calling the Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to American Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you very much. Very good, interesting program. Mr. Munger and Mr. Rogers, question. I'm in the middle. I don't know who to believe anymore. I know Mr. Munger. I've heard him spoke many times, and I really believe he has the facts. I believe you may have the facts, too. Once again, from a person looking, you know, outside in, how do you trust anymore? I mean, the government does. It sounds like two little kids in a sandbox fighting all the time.
Okay, thank you, American
Dave. Dave, I completely agree with you. You know, it does sound like that a lot. But let me tell you something that John said a moment ago that's just frankly not true. You know, I was an economist before I went to law school, and the fact is Keynesian economics does work, and stimulus programs do stimulate jobs. There are some ways that are better than others. For instance, giving tax cuts to get just cutting people's taxes. Well, that will make them spend more, and that will have a stimulative effect in the economy. However, government spending to hire people to do jobs, particularly infrastructure kinds of jobs, has a 2 to 3 times more of an ability to increase money that's spent in the economy. So the fact is that stimulus programs do work. The stimulus program that it's become a bad word because it didn't work as well as we wanted it to, but the fact is that they do work, and it's just a matter of realizing how far down you are and putting in the right mix of stimulus products. And I think that this plan that the president set forth about a week and a half ago, and now the other side of it, the revenue raising side of it, I think this program has a significant chance to work, increase jobs, and bring this economy back.
Well, here's the problem I have with that. Stimulus programs have never worked over any sustained period of time. There's no evidence of it. It didn't work during FDR's years, and it hasn't worked during the Obama administration. We're on our fourth stimulus, and none of it's worked. The best you can say for a stimulus program is it will work for the period of the stimulus. But once you spend the money, then the stimulus is over. Nobody's going to go out and create permanent jobs based upon a short-term stimulus. That's just unreal. So, you can give somebody money to create a job.
So you're saying they're just temporary jobs.
They're temporary jobs. And here's the problem. Unless we have the creation of real jobs, of real demand, long-term, unless we have stability, a short-term stimulus is just that. It's a short-term stimulus. Now, the second issue with regard to a stimulus is, if you've got to, using the stimulus concept, you got to give the money to the government and trust the government to spend it in the right place. We know that doesn't work. President Obama himself made a joke out of the fact that his last $1 trillion stimulus was a mistake because, oh, gee, there weren't shovel-ready jobs.
Okay,
I don't trust the government.
Jeff Rogers.
Well, that's the new Republican mantra, let's not trust the government. Well, I don't trust everyone in the government, and the government doesn't always get it right. But let's use a medical analogy. If you put a cast on your broken leg, it's not going to heal your broken leg, but it's going to help you to do the right things to keep you from re-injuring it, and it will slowly heal over time. And that's what these stimulus programs are designed to do. You're going to have to also have long-term tax and revenue changes made that are going to work in the long run, but in the short run, these stimulus programs are designed to get the economy back on its feet. Like unemployment insurance, for instance, it's not going to give you a job, but it's going to sustain your ability to pay the local butcher and buy from the local grocer and to continue to put gas in your car and make your insurance payments, all of which will help the economy sustain itself.
Your wrap-up comment, John.
Well, here's the problem with that.
Bottom line.
The Democrats say, yeah, combined with a reform, a regulatory reform, and a reform of the tax system, this might work, even though it's a short-term stimulus, you have long-term. But the Democrats always respond by saying, well, we'll cut taxes later. We'll cut spending later. We'll do everything constructive later. Never happens.
Okay, John Munger and Jeff Rogers, thank you both very much for being with us. The Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture hanging, framing, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. Again, our thanks to Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Stay with us. We'll be talking with the Nature Conservancy about their big donation to Pima County. And Rick Grinnell is coming up also in the next half hour on the Buckmaster Show. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A spokesman for the European Commission says a conference call between Greece's finance minister and the country's international debt inspectors has ended without a decision on whether the inspectors will be returning to Athens. President Obama says his proposal to raise taxes on the wealthy as part of a $3 trillion deficit-cutting package isn't class warfare, it's math. Republicans say they'll oppose any attempt to hike taxes on anyone. Libya's revolutionary forces say they've gained control of an airport and other locations near a desert city in the country's south. On Wall Street, stocks have bounced back from their lows for the day. The Dow is now down about 115 points, the Nasdaq currently unchanged, and the S&P is 9 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Thank you.
1234 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, the voice in the voice network. Believe me, folks, this is a powerful radio station going all the way to Phoenix, almost to Yuma, into New Mexico, and down into Old Mexico. The Nature Conservancy is donating unique riparian habitat to Pima County in an effort to help link two ranch properties that the county owns east of the Santa Catalina Mountains. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Holly Richter, the Director of Conservation for the Nature Conservancy in Arizona. Dr. Richter, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Tell me about these two ranch properties and tell me about the land that's involved here.
Sure. Buttman Canyon is a really special place. It was donated to the Nature Conservancy back in 1996 by Riley West Incorporated, who owned and operated the 96,000-acre Toyota Ranch. And at the time, William McGinnis, who was the president of Riley West, expressed concern about mining exploration in the area and really wanted these lands to be permanently protected. In addition, the Nature Conservancy also purchased another 72 acres that are adjoining that donation. And at this time, we're donating to the county those lands that Riley West had donated to us, and then also asking the county to purchase that additional 72 acres to recoup our cost of that acquisition. But together, this property is a really, really important link to surrounding properties that are already being managed by Pima County.
So we're talking roughly 1,000 acres in, is it Buckman County? Buckman Canyon? How is that pronounced?
It's pronounced Buttman Canyon.
Buttman Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of acreage, isn't it?
It is, and it's very extraordinary acreage. The quality of the habitat is really phenomenal. It contains a major drainage into the San Pedro River on the east side of the Catalina Mountains. And along that canyon bottom is a forest type that's just a very large sycamore trees, cottonwoods, and ash trees, a forest type that's known as a broadleaf riparian forest. And it's habitat for a whole lot of species, including aquatic species in the creek bottom itself.
So how do people get into this property right now?
Well, it's a little bit of a journey from Tucson. It takes about 90 minutes to get there. Pima County Natural Resources and Parks and Recreation Department will be managing the canyon as a natural resource park. It's the same way that they manage the A7 and the 6 Bar ranches. So it will be open to hikers, hunters, and horseback riders. But it takes about 90 minutes from travel time from Tucson. And it probably is going to require a four-wheel drive vehicle with good clearance, and you probably want to make sure that you restrict your visits to times when the weather conditions are good, because the roads are very rugged, and it is a fairly remote area.
Dr. Richter, the Nature Conservancy here in Arizona has been really, they were an early supporter of Pima County's Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, helping to back that 2004 bond package that funded the program, and serving since on an oversight committee. Do you like what you see out of this Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan? And I know you've been watching it very carefully.
Absolutely. The county has been a great steward of the lands that they've already acquired. They already have title to about 45,000 acres and another 127,000 acres of grazing leases. And so it really requires that thinking at that kind of a scale to make a difference for conservation. And we're very pleased at what we're seeing, and we feel very fortunate to have the participation of our partners in this conservation work in the Tucson area.
Can you give us some idea of the total number of acres that the Nature Conservancy has purchased here in Arizona? Do you have give us an overall view of it?
Yeah. It's interesting because historically we purchased land and kept land under our management as part of our nature preserve system. But what we find today is that with the rising cost of land acquisition, that actually what we do now for conservation is working with private landowners, we will acquire conservation easements so that we don't have to hold the full fee title of properties to conserve them, and that stretches our dollar a lot farther than if we had to go out and actually purchase and continue to own these same properties. So
what we found is that we really leverage the resources that we have in protecting lands across Arizona by not necessarily having to own them anymore, but working with partners who are willing to be good stewards and managers of the land, just as Pima County is with Human Canyon.
Your state director of the Nature Conservancy in Arizona, Patrick Graham, had an op-ed piece recently in the Arizona Republic urging conservationists and the state officials to thin our forests now. Think that's a good idea?
You know, I think it's a great idea. And, you know, even when you look at a place like Human Canyon, just right outside of Tucson, even that canyon has felt the effects of fire in the last couple of years. And we are seeing some increased sediment in the creek in Human Canyon from the Bullet Fire years ago. So fire is becoming an increasingly important dynamic across the landscapes in Arizona. And really, to be able to address that management need at the scale at which it needs to be addressed, we need to do a couple of things to change the way that we work. One is that we need to, as Pat had reiterated recently, we need to invest in thinning, and we need to invest in that instead of just fighting fires. We need to be more proactive and preventative in having those very severe fires occur in the first place. And it actually will save us money to do that. So that's really important in terms of having a little bit more proactive approach. But to be proactive, we also need to streamline the processes that go into making thinning projects happen and to make them happen faster. So in other words, the processes for approving thinning projects on our federal land, they can sometimes stretch out for two years. And this system really isn't adequate to meet our emerging needs to do more and to do it faster. So we're hoping that we can see some of those processes streamlined and kind of clear the way for the Forest Service and its various partners to not only evaluate environmental impacts and base their decisions on science, but actually get projects implemented.
Go ahead. Yes. Dr. Holly Richter, thank you very much, Director of Conservation for the Nature Conservancy in Arizona, telling us about that roughly 1,000 acres in Buman Canyon that the Nature Conservancy is donating to Pima County. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, coming up on 12:42 on the Buckmaster Show, Rick Grinnell will be with me in studio here. If you have any questions for Mr. Grinnell, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040, to talk with Rick Grinnell, Republican candidate for the mayor of the city of Tucson. Stay with us.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Well, 46, this is the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday edition. We are live here Monday through Friday, noon to 1, and hope you'll be joining us every day on the Buckmaster Show. Rick Grinnell is with me live in studio. He is the Republican candidate for mayor of the city of Tucson. Rick, how are you?
I'm grand, and yourself, my friend?
Doing very well, and we've been seeing those Rick Grinnell signs, you know, write in Rick Grinnell. Are you going to try to put new signs out there, or are you going to use the old ones?
Well, what we're doing is we're collecting up all the old signs and cleaning up all the litter, and then we're going to use as many as we possibly can, and we have stickers that say, now vote in, and then we're going to recycle those and add some more signs to it, and we're also recycling our literature.
Tell me about the political disadvantage that you are at this point because of the fundraising. The Democrat, Jonathan Rothschild, has raised a lot of money, and you're kind of struggling.
Well, you know, we're because of the timing of this whole process, we got in and we
rather late.
Rather late. I mean, there's no argument there. But between July 15th and August 30th, we gained 7,700 valid write-in votes, which is a state record. It was huge. And we also know that there was another couple thousand, give or take, of votes that weren't quite filled in the right way or whatever. But we're spending our money. Everybody's volunteers. We have no paid staff. The volunteers are just literally calling daily. What can we do? Where can we walk? We're walking every week. I'm probably at 12 different events a week, which is I enjoy talking to people. I mean, that's just part of who I am. But
you're a people person.
I am. I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to discuss these issues with people because everybody is concerned about what's going on, and this race has ignited a new enthusiasm in the community, unparalleled in any of the races I've ever been in.
If you had to say the theme of your campaign, what would you say your theme is?
Well, it's actually three things. I mean, you have to, it's about putting people back to work. It's about establishing a plan of action that really has some teeth to it, to allow people, the businesses, to expand, identify compatible industries to come to Tucson, and creating a business environment that is not just business friendly, but is business ready. Time frames, duplication reduction, duplication of costs to open a business, hookup fees. The second part of this process, which really has everybody concerned, is the integrity of local government. I think that the distrust factor is so phenomenal out there. People are just like throwing up their hands. They're tired of all the investigations. They're tired of hearing about park rides. They're tired of hearing about a 911 center. And people say, can't you just run the group? Can't you just do your job?
And yeah, it does seem like you pick up the paper every day, there's something. Yeah. And speaking of that front page piece about the, you're on the Rio Nuevo, the board.
Correct.
And here you are running for mayor. Well, now there's this, the Tucson City Council and the board kind of have a new issue, or maybe you're going to contend it's not such a new issue. It's this, what about the Tucson Convention Center?
Well, and I will go back all the way to 1999. The original legislation was to establish a stadium district. The TCC was supposed to be the stadium. The original investment should have been in the TCC to expand it for conventions.
You think that should have been the first priority?
That, absolutely. That was the original intent of the original legislation. And then when the city restructured it, it changed that concept. So the district is working diligently. I brought in, as the treasurer, I brought in the full balanced budget for the district. I have worked with the city and the other board members. We have now have our own checking accounts, our own savings accounts, our own collateralized accounts so that we ensure the process of the monies. And I made a motion 6 months ago, give or take, to invest $3 million in the TCC. Now, Steve and I, Mr. Kozacik, and I love his enthusiasm. I love the way he challenges people to do things and think outside the box.
Yeah, he led a tour of the convention center on Thursday night, pointing out the fixes that need to be made there.
Yes, he did. And Steve and I are on the same page on this stuff. And so sometimes I think and it's good to have good constructive argument on what is it going to take to get things done. And we have an all-day meeting tomorrow. We're going into retreat to work on a lot of these issues. And we're finally in a place where I think we have a pretty good reconciliation of where the money is.
When you look at some of the issues, you mentioned 911, and by the way, Rick, on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow, we have the new fire chief, Mr. Critchley, will be with us, and he'll give us an update now that the fire department has taken over the control 911. Do you think that was a good move to have the fire department in charge of it?
I think strategically for having the fire department, because of the complexity of the fire emergency calls versus TPD calls, there's a lot more complexity to the structure and how to dispatch people to the right areas and the appropriate equipment and people power to support it. I think it's very wise to have it there. But I think what we really want to do is look at this from a holistic perspective. You know, we bonded in 2006 and then in 1997 to have a joint communication system with the county in a regional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious where all those monies went to. You know, so I think that we have to look at this holistic. And I think the fire chief is good. He's been in the trenches. He knows the fire department. He's well respected by the men and women in the department, and
it was a good move to put Mr. Critchley in there. He's been in the fire service since the mid 1980s, actually.
Yeah, so he's been about 24-25 years, I think.
Yeah. Any calls for Rick Grinnell? Now is the time. 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Rick, the water issue is coming up again. The city is starting a scheduled annual review of its water service policy. A fierce debate is looming over how much the city should use water to control growth. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I do not agree with the current policy to use water as an annexation hook, if you will. What people don't realize is Tucson Water doesn't own the land out there. And if one of these developers wants to start his or her own water company, they don't need permission of the city of Tucson to do it. So we run the risk of losing a unified way of managing water. The other thing about water, which is a and always will be. I mean, that is, you know, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting, you know. And but I really believe that we need to look at not only just a local regional approach to dealing with water, but I think that we need to talk to our friends down in Santa Cruz County, down in Sonora, Mexico, all the way to Yuma County, because we have we live in a region, the Sonoran region, and water desalinization issues are going to be coming up down the road. And if we look at this from a much more global perspective, we can help each other out and reduce the amount of cost that's going to be necessary to create the water availability that we all need. We are going to grow. The question is, are we going to mature?
So you'd like to see more of like what we did with transportation, perhaps more we need to address that regional approach to water.
I think water needs to be extended far beyond just the city and the counties. We need to talk with our friends all across, and down in Cochise County, and the San Pedro isn't going to be in there. We have to look at water from a much broader perspective. This is going to require the state, the federal government. This is going to require a joint effort with the Mexican government, and I'm looking at a much, and there's a gentleman by the name of Carl Hodges is already introducing using salt water and doing in Yuma area, trying to find appropriate crops that will use salt water to grow, saving some of that aquifer air water in those resources or the CAP. So there's other alternatives to water, and if we continue to try to leverage the cost of Tucson taxpayers, it's going to be ridiculous.
The roads are certainly an issue in any campaign for mayor. What are you going to do about our pothole situation?
Well, this goes back to the other part of your question about priorities. You have to also look at how we're going to manage our budget. And this year alone, the city is going to get about $21 million of HERF funds because they have to pay back about $16 million. There's going to be a reduction of HERF funds from the state. So we really have to look at how we're going to manage our budget much better. The core services that was established again in 2006, you know, 2.1 officers per 1,000, parks and recs and transportation. We really have to go back to the budget and reset those priorities and make sure we maximize the opportunity. The other part of this is a public-private partnership program that we can start looking at to help each other out. You have some roads in parts of the city that maybe we can find a way to get the business community to help step up a little bit. But we have to remember that businesses are employers, and unless we have an opportunity for them to employ people, there's not much we can do, and the government can't do it all by itself. So the city has really, and I understand this budget really well. Unfortunately, sometimes I look out and I say, wow, we're in trouble. We're over $1 billion in debt. We have a $600 million unfunded pension liability. Downtown infrastructure is over $700 million of needed unfunded liabilities in infrastructure. We're going to be pulling we're going to put a trolley tracks right over the roads. We're going to have to look at tearing up and fixing those water lines, gas lines, sewer lines, electrical, everything down there. So we have a lot to look at, but I believe that we start from the inside and we start working, and one success will follow another.
Does this mayoral race come down to who is going to create the jobs for the city of Tucson, in your opinion?
This mayoral race has got to come from creating the private sector has to create the economic environment, because they're the ones that pay the sales taxes, collect the sales taxes, I should say, and then pay it to the city. They're the people, and wealth-generating opportunities have to be made part of it. Wealth creates the foundation of a strong economic environment, and you had Mr. Rogers, who is an economist. He's very aware of this. And he also knows that commerce, without a strong wealth-generating opportunity, you have no commerce. Commerce creates the tax. Wealth creates the foundation. And once we start to educate people on how to have the balance of both, I believe Tucson's going to be okay. I think we're going to get disciplined. We're going to be responsible. And I'm hopeful because I believe in this city. I grew up. That's why I got in this race. I have a lot of time invested.
Yeah, you were kind of drafted to be into this race.
Yes and no. I drafted myself primarily, though. When I sat there and realized that we don't have coronations in this country, we have elections. And when I looked at my resume and I said, you know what, I know these issues, I've been around a long time, and I love this city, and it's time for me to bring everything full circle.
And I know you're looking forward to sitting down here on my program with the other two candidates, Mr. Camp and Mr. Rothschild. We're going to spend a whole hour. We've invited all three of the candidates. I know you're looking forward to that.
I am, and I think the public deserves to hear this discussion, because this isn't about us. This is about what's best for Tucson and which candidate brings the best opportunity for success.
Yeah, I certainly think there's plenty to talk about for a full hour with all three of the candidates. So you say you're doing about 12 events a week?
I'm speaking probably 12 times a week someplace, yeah. And I'm knocking on doors and making phone calls. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's like any other opportunity. I look at this, I enjoy the opportunity, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick Grinnell, for being with us, and we'll look forward to the date we have set, October the 12th, for a full hour. We'll see if we can get all three candidates here together on the Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountant. My good friend, CPA Mike Flowers, stop by and say hello to him. 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we're speaking about the 911 system. We'll hear from the new fire chief of the city of Tucson. Chief Critchley will be our guest, among others, tomorrow, along with Victoria Mazes, the Buckmaster contributor on health, Dr. Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine. That's going to do it. Have a great Monday afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.